So today at Whitgift, we're talking to the captain, the vice captain, and three deputy vice captains. Let's get into it right now.
Welcome back to Whitgift Conversations, the podcast where we talk to staff and pupils about topics that are relevant to you. Come with us as we get into this episode right now.
So I'm here today with Ian, with Sam, with Daniel, with Go, and with Jay. Hello, gents. How are you all doing?
We're doing very good. How are you, Simon?
Very good indeed. Thanks, Ian. I'm glad that you've taken the helm straight away. So you're our captain in this fabulous group of five. Now, some people listening to this recording right now, they might be wondering actually what a captain means. Is that captain of a sports club, or is that captain of a ship, or is that captain of school? What does it actually mean? Just give us in a nutshell what it means.
Yeah, I think a lot of schools will use the term head boy instead. So school captain, head boy are interchangeable, but essentially, I'm the representative of the student body. So I'm in upper six, which is obviously the highest year group. And essentially, me and my team, we represent almost different sort of aspects of student life at Whitgift. And we'll essentially, people can come speak to us if they have any concerns. And then we can then take them to sort of senior staff leadership who we have a great relationship with and sort of work on solutions in that sense.
Okay, all right. So you then, as captain, is that a position that you needed to apply for? And was there like a voting process for you to get that? How does that actually work?
So there was a voting process to our whole year group around about February of our lower six year. We all voted for prefects via Microsoft Forms, which was quite an interesting system. I think the funny thing about it was that the first time round, people could vote twice on the system. So you did end up with a case of people would just flood the votes with their friends, etc. So they had to reset it anyway. But so they, based off that and application letters, roughly 30 prefects were picked from that. And then of those 30, the majority then applied for sort of vice captain or school captain positions. We then went with a initial interview with Mr. Martin, who's a proctor at Whitgift, who's essentially the head of the prefects. And of those 30, about 12 were selected, essentially shortlisted for the senior positions. Those 12 then all did three interviews. So one of them was with last year's school captain team, who you spoke with, so Harvey, Niall, Joe, et cetera, et cetera. We then had breakfast with essentially the marketing team. So that was Miss Gumra and Mr. Northcote as part of the development office. And then finally, the sort of big interview, if you will, was with Mr. Ramsey, headmaster, deputy headmaster, Mr. Cresswell, and director of sixth form, Mrs. Carter. And then, yeah, that happened over the course of about a week. And then we found out just before May half term who got which position.
So that was May half term of 2022 in that
2023. Yes.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. Okay. Awesome. And then sat next to you, we've got Sam. So Sam, you are the you're the vice captain. Is that right?
Yes, that is right.
Okay. Tell us a little bit more then about what it means to be vice captain, and I guess that means you need to work fairly closely with Ian in this capacity. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly that. So I might be what some schools call like a deputy head boy or something like that, but As vice captain, I sort of support Ian and everything he does, basically. And I also try and work very closely with the junior school prefect, so the other sort of prefect body that we have within the school. And then, yeah, making sure that our team are sort of doing what they need to be doing, and then the senior prefects and the wider prefect body get to, yeah, operate sort of efficiently, make sure they're doing all the right stuff as well. But yeah, a lot of supporting and working closely with Ian, yeah.
Yeah, I love the way that Ian's nodding there in the background.
I'm glad he agrees with me on that one.
So tell me then about what kind of issues you tend to get involved in and how you represent the student body there at school.
Yeah, so one of my like major roles, especially with the junior school prefects, is just making sure that the prefects are both visible to the rest of the student body, but aren't overworked and don't do things that they shouldn't be doing in terms of which events they pick and choose to help out at, and making sure that they're where they need to be. And so it's often quite tricky with the junior school prefects, especially in terms of getting them out there, but not giving them too much responsibility so that what they do still means something. And so some of the problems we've sort of had, it's very tricky to find that balance, but hopefully this year and as a team, we've been managing that quite well, and we'll keep doing as the year goes on.
I'm sure that you will. I'm sure that you will, Sam. Now, Sam, I'm going to ask Ian this as well, but tell us whether you're doing IB or whether you're doing A-levels there at school.
Yeah, so I'm doing A-levels. I'm currently in four A-levels. And Ian, you're...
Yeah, I'm also doing A-levels, four A-levels, which are economics, politics, geography and maths.
Wow, okay, Ian, they're pretty heavy going, those four, aren't they?
Yes, a lot of essay writing, which I sometimes regret, but I do enjoy it, definitely.
Yeah, I'm sure that you do. And Sam, what are you doing right now? Which four?
So I'm doing biology, economics, English and philosophy.
Okay, right. Equally, yeah. Four heavy ones, which is really impressive. Okay, so that's all going well. I presume that's going well. Is that going well?
it's going all right. Yeah, it's going all right.
Actually, that's a fair question. You know, is this something that interrupts your studies there at all at school? Because, you know, something like this, it can eat into your time a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say not particularly, because you do have to be good at managing your time and choosing when to focus on revising, studying, when to focus on, you know, your role as captain or vice captain. But I think given that we enjoy it and it's something we want to do, it doesn't, especially for me, feel like a burden or feel like something that I have to waste time on, especially. I mean, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, we all applied for these roles because, you know, we really feel like we've really enjoyed our time at the school, and I wouldn't say we want to give something back, but, you know, we want to kind of, you know, help improve the lives of students, et cetera, make them enjoy the experience the same way we all have.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. That really does. And the opportunity to give back is clearly something that's a really good thing as well. Okay, so Sam, next to you, let's jump across because we've got Go sat there.
Yep.
Hi, Go. How are you doing? You well?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. Thank you for being here, by the way. So you're a deputy vice captain, but first of all, because I'm asking I'll ask each of you, are you doing A-levels or IB there?
Yes, so I'm doing A-levels. I currently do three subjects. I do history, politics and maths.
Okay, all right. Are you enjoying all of them? And which one is your favourite?
I am enjoying it very much. Yeah. I think my favourite is probably politics, which is probably what I'm personally most interested in.
Interesting. And is politics something you're hoping to get involved in after you leave Whitgift?
I think I already am involved in grassroots politics a bit. But I actually, in terms of a career in the future, I actually want to pursue history instead of politics. That's something that I find more interesting in terms of academically.
Okay, right. Got it. I love the way that Sam was smiling when you just mentioned about being involved a little bit in politics. Are you involved in school then, in some kind of politics group?
Mostly outside of school. But I do also help run the debating society, which is most of the time debating about political issues.
Okay, and what kind of, this is really interesting talking to you about this, within those political issues, what kind of political issues do you tend to debate?
So usually we tend to talk about sort of the most topical issue at the time. For example, you know, when sort of in the world of politics, the NHS is the most debated topic at the time. We would have a debate on the NHS. I think this week we had a debate on regarding the privatisation of the NHS, for example. So, and we also do a couple of silly debates as well. We had one which was a debate between ChatGPT and Year 9s, which was quite interesting.
Oh, I bet it was. How did that work then?
So essentially we would have... Well, actually, I think it might have actually even been year eights, but we would have a team of students who would argue in favor of themselves, trying to argue that they are smarter than ChatGPT. And then we would just put the prompt into ChatGPT to write a debate article. And we would have someone read it out. But I think ChatGPT ended up debating against itself, which was so the year nines did win pretty convincingly.
Oh, I love that. Love that. Now, Go, tell us what it's like to be a deputy vice captain. And I'm dying to know as well how you feel being in this position is going to help you after you leave Whitgift.
Yes. Yeah, so as deputy vice captains, as well as sort of being in a supportive role like Sam, we are also sort of have more specific roles. I like to compare it to sort of ministers and secretaries of state in a cabinet. I like to think of the captain team of the cabinet, but so for example, I'm in charge of events, which means that I oversee which prefects are attending and helping out in which events, and I'm in charge of sort of keeping a log of who's not doing enough events, who's doing enough events, and then Daniel and Jay in charge of their respective areas, which I'm sure they'd like to talk about as well. But I think in terms of what it does for my future, I think I've learned a lot about sort of managing a lot of people and working with people, especially because I think my job in specific is quite important in sort of the running of events. And I have to talk to a lot of teachers and students. So that has helped me a lot in terms of organization.
Awesome. And how long have you been at the school for then, Go?
So I've been here since year 9. So that would be since 2019, I believe.
Okay, right. And how come you joined in year 9 instead of year 7, if you don't mind me asking?
So I was living in Japan.
Oh, that's fair enough. It's a fairly big commute from Japan.
So yeah, I moved here with my family because of my father's job. So that's originally how I came here. I'm born now, but yeah.
Okay, all right, understood. Brilliant. Thank you for sharing all of that with us. And next to you, Go, we've also got Jay. How are you doing, Jay?
Oh, yeah, I'm all good, thanks.
And you're also a deputy vice captain. But tell us, first of all, because I'm asking everybody, are you doing A-levels or IB?
So I'm the first person here doing the IB, which is a very intense curriculum. It's interesting, it's broad, but yeah, it's definitely intense.
And just to clarify, when you say you're the first person here, you mean the first person that I'm talking to, as opposed to the first person at Whitgift. Okay, no, just wanted to clarify that. Pioneering the way in the world of IB. Actually, Jay, just a quick question on that, first of all. Why did you choose the IB route instead of A-levels?
I think one of the reasons was it's just got such a broad curriculum. And I didn't really like the idea of narrowing down everything that I want to study to just 3 or 4 subjects. I've got so many more interests than just humanities or just sciences. So I do biology, I do chemistry, maths, English, Latin, and geography. So I've got quite a nice mix of humanities and sciences, which is something I didn't really want to lose after GCSEs. And if I went into A-levels, I'd sort of have to narrow that down immediately. And by forcing yourself to do 6 subjects, you have to embrace doing different schools of subjects that belong to different schools of thought. I think also I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do post Whitgift, and doing something that broad allows you to make that decision a little bit later on. So I think essentially my need to procrastinate making decisions was definitely a factor in choosing the IB.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, Jay. And actually, some of the people listening to this right now are going to be in their, if they've their parents, they'll be likely in their 40s and 50s, and some of them still don't even know what they want to do. So you're doing all right there. You're doing all right. Some people, though, say that the IB comes with more work than A-levels. Is that true? And if so, is that a problem?
Well, I think, I mean, I've got all the A-level boys there shaking their heads furiously. But from looking at the divide between the A-level and IB boys as they work, I definitely think there is a higher workload in the IB. Ian's looking very grumpy at that statement. But yeah, I mean, I think when you do 6 subjects and they're all at very high standards, regardless of if you're doing them at higher or standard level, there's just a need to do more work. And not just that, but you've got coursework in every single subject. And naturally, that comes with having to do more work and a higher workload. So I think there probably is a higher level of work.
And this time next year, what are you planning on doing at the moment?
So at the moment, I've applied to study English in the UK, but I've also applied abroad to Princeton in the States. I think a key factor in that is also probably the IB. It's really helpful to do a qualification that doesn't limit you to just the UK, because that tends to be what people who apply with A-levels do. They tend to apply to the UK. But doing the IB, I've got the opportunity to also apply to America and still be quite competitive. I think, I mean, you're more than competitive if you still do A-levels, but don't worry, Ian. But I definitely think that it's another helpful factor if you've got A-levels, if you've got the IB as well.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. And let's just talk about you being a deputy vice captain. I mean, what does that mean for you? How did that make you feel when you took that position?
I think taking on that role, I was really happy to, I'm really proud to get that, because I've been here since, I think, 2016. I joined in year 6, so I've been here my entire time at secondary school alongside Sam. And being able to grow up in a community that's, you know, as involved, as vibrant, and I guess as multifaceted as Whitgift is, it really means something for you to end up at the top end of the school in year 13 and to look back and say, well, I really enjoyed this, but admittedly, that might not have been the best thing that we could have done. And then you stop and you think, well, I could have improved this. We could have worked to make this a little bit better. And I think ultimately that's what we try to strive to achieve as a team. We're trying to work together to just improve the lives of everyone at Whitgift as well, as much as we can, whether that's students or staff or just the relationship between the two. We want to make that as positive an experience for everyone as we can. So I think that's definitely something that I take a lot of pride in, taking on that role.
No, it's an awesome answer. Thank you for that, Jay. And good luck with your studies, especially if you do go overseas for that. In fact, for the four of you, the rest of the four of you, is anyone else planning on studying overseas next year?
Yeah, I'll just pass this on to Ian.
Yeah, so I think myself and Daniel, we're also applying. So obviously Jay's applied to Princeton. I've actually applied to 12 US unis. So
12? Wow.
Yes, so quite a lot. So for UCAS, you have a limit of 5 unis that you get to choose from. Common App, which is the system that most students use when applying to US, has a limit of about 20. So for most people, that's essentially an unlimited amount, pretty much, of unis you can apply for. I think the reason for applying to so many unis is because it's quite expensive. There's no secret that, and therefore, it's not just a matter of getting sort of admission or acceptance to one of these unis. It has to be with the right financial conditions as well. So it's a matter of just to having a go at a lot of these top institutions, and then hopefully you'll strike gold almost with one of them with the right sort of finances, etc.
Thanks for that, Ian. And did I hear right that, Daniel, you're thinking about overseas as well? Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I'm applying to just 4. Unlike the multitude that Ian is applying to. But I've applied to 4 Ivy League universities. So that's Princeton, Harvard, Columbia and Yale.
Wow, all 4 of them clearly cracking universities. So let me guess, are you doing IB then as well as Jay?
Well, I'm in the unique position of having done both systems. I took an A-level last year, but yes, I am currently doing the IB.
Oh, Daniel, I'm intrigued by this. How come both then? Tell me more about that.
So, although not being very good at it, I do speak Russian, and so I took the Russian A-level last year.
I love the way you just dropped that in. That's a good little flex, that.
Yeah, it was surprisingly difficult, actually. I did come out with an A-star, but I found it to be a quite difficult subject to take.
This flexing is fantastic. You found it quite difficult. It came out with an A-star. There we go.
I thought I'd just like to mention, because Go's not currently on the microphone, but he also did a Japanese A-level last year and I believe did receive an A-star. Just about. But he did receive an A-star, so just thought I'd mention that.
Thanks, Ian. There's great commentary coming from you. It's really good. Daniel, tell us a little bit then about, for you being deputy vice-captain, again, how that made you feel.
Oh, amazing. I feel like since year 7, as Ian's mentioned, we've really benefited a lot from the Whitgift community. And having an opportunity to give back and do something for the school and be able to contribute to the school's affairs in some way has really been of a beneficial experience. My personal area of focus, as we all have, is in charity and in development, which means relations with alumni. So I'm the head of the charity committee. So we work to create charitable events throughout the school year to try and raise money for the different charities we support, which includes the Whitgift Foundation and charities like Young Minds, which are trying to support young people who find themselves without the support required to help their mental health. Additionally, I work with the Class Gift, which is a year 13 run program to try and raise money for the incoming students' bursaries to try and make our school a more accessible place to people of lower incomes and try and give back to the wider Croydon community. But additionally, in terms of my work with alumni, we're working to push out something called Whitgift Connect at the moment, which is almost like a social media site. I'd compare it a lot to LinkedIn, but it's specifically for Whitgift students to be able to connect with people who have graduated from Whitgift, gain advice on university, gain advice on employment and things like that. So that's what I mainly do.
Wow. So it's the second time that I've heard you guys talking about giving back. So clearly giving back is an important part of what you're doing, which is really impressive. But I also know that, you know, when you talk about the alumni there, Daniel, that a good chunk of your alumni tends to give back as well. And I think there's a good chunk of your alumni that tends to listen to this podcast as well. So I'm sure they'll be keen to hear more about that as it's rolled out. And let's just jump back. Go, you mentioned that you're one of the boarding community here, but actually the other 4 of you in the room, is anyone else boarding there?
No. So I'm the only boarder.
Just you. So go tell us a little bit then about part of that boarding life. I mean, what is it like to board at Whitgift?
So there's three different types of boarding. So we have full boarding, weekly boarding and flexi boarding, of which I'm a full boarder, which means that I pretty much live at Whitgift all the time. And weekly boarders will go back home during the weekends. And flexi boarding is this very, I think it's quite unique to Whitgift in that people can sort of book a room in the boarding house. So if their parents are busy or the parents just want to go away on holiday, they can just send their kids to the boarding house for a couple of days. Actually, there have been quite a few people who their parents just went to on holiday and they've just been put in the school, the boarding house for like a full week. It's a very sort of international community, as one might expect. We have people from all different parts of the world, and you know, people here are boarding for all different types of reasons, and so I find it really quite fun to be a boarder.
No, that's good. That's really good to hear. And actually, I'm looking up, and it looks like Mr. Ramsey's just walked into the room. Hello, Chris.
Just being nosy, just wondering what's going on.
Fantastic. Well, we're here recording a podcast, as you and I have done in the past, of course. And so really, we've just been finding out. In fact, Ian's been telling us what it's like being captain. Sam's been telling us as well. And Daniel, Jay and Go have all been explaining what it's like to be part of this team. How would you say this team of five has been faring up over the last few months since they've been in this position?
I think they're great. I mean, seriously, I'm sort of reflecting back on the school captain. And we used to think of it, if I sort of think back at Whitgift when I first started seven years ago, and we would appoint a school captain and we had some really good people. But I think in the last few years, we've very much more seen it as a team. And okay, so Ian is the actual school captain, but it's very much a captain team, and they meet together with me and my deputy as a team who get on well, are, you know, honest and open, and you know, they've said stuff sometimes which is, you know, not entirely comfortable to hear, but that's part of the job. And I think they're great. And I think that the other thing I would say about these guys, and I've said it to them, so hopefully they won't be too embarrassed, they actually do the things they set out to. And that's hard, because the upper sixth is not really a year. It's really, you know, just until kind of May time. And you start off in September as an upper sixth former, and you kind of set out, as these guys have, okay, we'd like to achieve these things. Two or three things. And I said to you, didn't I, at the beginning of the year, don't let's try and do eight things, you know, but they set out three or four things and they've done them. I mean, they've absolutely nailed them, ticked them off, moved them forward. And that's very impressive. So you guys are really, really good. I'm very proud of you.
Well, that's really good to hear, especially from you, Chris, and really appreciate you stepping in and being a very unexpected guest here on the podcast. Now, gents, I'm keeping an eye on time because we need to bring this podcast episode to a close. In fact, if we just jump back to Ian for a second. Ian, it feels sensible to end this podcast recording with you, given that you're in position there as captain. Just tell us about one thing that you plan on doing over summer then, before you do whatever you're going to be doing next year.
Plan of summer. So my dad's originally from Scotland. He's lived in London for about 25 years, but a part of that, he's a massive Scotland football fan. So we're hoping that just after my A-levels are finished, we'll travel out to Germany, where the Euros are this summer, and spend a week or so there, hopefully longer if Scotland progress, although that's unfortunately quite unlikely, but you know, never say never. But yeah, hopefully a bit of travelling, definitely. I mean, because I'm hoping to go to US university, their terms normally start around mid-August, which is a month or so before UK universities. So despite the fact that our summer starts a bit earlier because of exams finishing early, unfortunately my summer gets cut off a bit short, but obviously it's going to be an adventure in the US anyway, so I'm not too bothered about that.
It'll be a great adventure. I'm sure that you'll love it. I'm convinced of that. But all of you, Jay, Go, Sam, Daniel, and of course Ian, it's been great talking to you all. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's it for this episode. We appreciate you being here. For more information, please do get in touch through the website whitgift.co.uk. But in the meantime, thank you for listening. Bye for now.